Thank you, Dr. Welter. It was a great presentation, really provided us with good details on structure and infrastructure and capacity building, which I think is helpful at any point in time. And our next presenter is Dr. Humphreys. Dr. Humphreys has a broad background in public health research and practice. She has consulting expertise in the areas of diet and physical activity, behavior change, sustainability of community health programs, program monitoring and evaluation, in addition to training and participatory monitoring and evaluation. She's interested in interdisciplinary research on nutrition, immune function, and disease, as well as programmatic approaches to improving nutrition and preventing disease. With the support of the Connecticut Practice-Based Research Network, Dr. Humphreys was able to work with a team of one PhD student and eight MPH students to design, implement, and analyze the study that's going to be reported here. So again, welcome to Dr. Humphreys, and encourage everybody to write down your questions because we're going to have adequate time for question and answer after all the speakers finish. Dr. Humphreys?
Already advance you to your disclosure. Thank you. Thank you all for coming and for giving me the opportunity to tell you about some of the work that we've done. It's a pretty dramatic shift from the last presentation, much smaller scale, but interesting in being able to go in much closer to the perspectives of some of the local health directors on what's actually driving how they make decisions and how they allocate their resources at the local level. A little bit of background, the Practice-Based Research Network was in the process of getting up and running, and I had the opportunity to conduct this as a pilot project for them. Small project, we had two components. One was a quantitative analysis of economic coping mechanisms and how revenue streams and services shifted over the previous 10 years, trying to look at the effect of the recession on revenues and services. And I'll actually be presenting that information this afternoon in a poster session. When we did that analysis, basically what we found was that we weren't seeing the relationships in the quantitative data that we had expected. And so we had the opportunity to then take it to the local health directors and say, so what are you doing? What is it that is actually happening? You know, we hear these stories. You say you're being impacted. How are you making decisions and shifting things in your day-to-day activities? Connecticut has an interesting jurisdiction structure. We call them jurisdictions. That's a terminology that we've been using because we have a mix of departments and districts. So we don't have a functioning county structure. Every municipality is responsible for their own public health. Some of them choose to come together in districts to have a separate entity responsible for their public health services. The single municipality health departments, we refer to as departments, there we have a mix of departments that have full-time health directors, and we have other smaller, some rural, but basically smaller communities that are only using part-time health directors, although they will also generally have a full-time sanitarian. So they are providing the services that they need, but at a much smaller scale. So we have a complex and fascinating mix of different kinds of jurisdictions. 77 in 2010, and ranging from the districts and the part-time single towns and the full-time single towns. As I mentioned before, we started with the quantitative analysis. What I'm sharing today are the qualitative results. We did interviews with 17 directors of health. Together, they represented 20 jurisdictions. We did a purposive sample. Coming out of the quantitative analysis, we had a sense of some of the things that were different. And so we wanted to capture as much of the difference as we could. So we identified the district issue, the district, the rural-urban issues, and then the part-time, full-time to try and capture a range. We recorded and transcribed the interviews, coded them by at least two independent reviewers, had the opportunity to work with the emerging Yale School of Public Health Consulting Group, where they actually went through and did much of the coding and the analysis of the transcripts and looking at key themes. Key themes really around budgets, services, and then the coping mechanisms that I'll get to. The overarching research questions were really, what are they doing? Why is it we didn't see anything in the quantitative analysis? And then from the perspective of the local health directors, what are the things that influence their budget, and how do they make decisions about services? One of the most interesting parts of this from the students' perspective was what they learned about what was actually happening in local health departments, which is not something that they'd been learning about in their public health curriculum. So it was very interesting for them to get a sense, to get this insight into how the services and budgeting decisions are made at the local health department level. Some of the key themes, I'm going to start with the coping mechanisms. Other revenue, grants, you know, they looked for other revenue that could help to address shortfalls. Changes in the service mix, changes in the staffing mix, lots of attention to politics. How do they build the relationships? And then what can we do with partnerships? The overarching influences on the budget, again, politics. Structures, that district piece is going to, the district versus department is going to show up again there. Revenue streams, where's the money coming from, and what leverage do you have over different revenue streams? In terms of the services, there's a lot of influences on the priorities, and some of those are really quite interesting. And then just the overall budget, that's going to influence what services you're able to provide. Other revenue. When we looked at the coping mechanisms, it was interesting the districts actually had reported a little bit more access to some of these other revenue opportunities. The pathways of and review at a department level with a single municipality was a little bit more difficult, actually, to get some of those fees and the budget flow. Once they charged the fees, they didn't always get them when it was a municipality, as opposed to the district, where the district did get to keep the revenue. I want to say a little bit more about some of those other revenues. There's so many quotations when you're presenting these kind of results, and you have to pick and choose. Districts were much more likely to be looking at grants. They also, some of them had reserves, which was not so common in the health departments. They had diversified. They owned their building. They had other rent. So the districts had some autonomy and flexibility in terms of other finances that the municipalities didn't report. In terms of services, they were pretty clear that they were sticking with the mandate and they weren't doing anything, you know, that if they had changes in their budgets, that they would go back to what was statutorily required. And so when the analysis that we had done on the quantitative analysis was using the annual report data for the state, so it was really about what are they reporting, and it was clearly what was statutorily required. And so they were sticking with what was required. They were meeting those goals, but dropping things that they saw as extra outside of those requirements. And they were also clear that when financial resources dictate it, they will drop services. Interesting, staffing was an interesting story because while they do report layoffs, reductions, there was also quite a bit of efforts to play with to game the system, you know, to not have layoffs, and so shift it to 33 hours instead of 35 furlough days, whatever they could do. And the districts, again, had a little more flexibility here to do some of these adjustments, to play with things to try and keep the staff and to keep it to keep the system working as well as it could be. The political story was really about building relationships. And bathrooms actually showed up multiple times in the transcripts. The positioning of the office of the health director, the positioning of, you know, this is a part-time health director, and so, you know, he was closeted over by the bathrooms, but people would walk by. And that drop-in access for a small health director was absolutely critical. Having people show up, knowing where you could find someone, being able to have ready access to political decision makers was a really important piece that flowed through, in part because the bulk of the revenues were coming from local sources. And so having the relationships with the political decision makers at the local level was absolutely critical. Partnerships, lots of interesting stories. There's partnerships that are with other health departments, but there are also the academic partnerships. There are partnerships with health, with the hospitals, partnerships with any other organization that's working in the field of public health. They were working hard to leverage those partnerships. Schools, absolutely. Anything that they could provide the services they wanted to provide in a way that strengthened the base and let them use their resources in a better way, they were working on. Shifting now to the budget piece, that political climate that showed up with the service, with the coping mechanisms, also comes back here. They're very active in local politics, absolutely clear on maintaining the relationships, and lots of really interesting stories. Some of the directors were much more savvy than others in terms of being very good at full cost accounting for the services that they did. They would see the strategic nature of if I do the records to know what a service costs me, then I can take that and share it and be much more clear with my with the politicians. And some were more savvy in that area than others were. So again, this lobbying, this justification, in particular with some of these part-time, smaller health jurisdictions, they struggled with the politicians being clear that they wanted a business-friendly climate, that they wanted to, you know, if the fees were going to keep anyone from starting a business, that they were, you know, they were going to keep it at a level that maintained the environment and the climate, the economic climate in their town that the politicians were committed to. Here's another one that sort of speaks to the awareness of the importance of education, that when you've got transitions, regular transitions in political leadership, the commitment to educating whoever the leaders are on the value and the costs and all of the components of public health is absolutely critical. And the directors were aware of the need to do that and to see that as a regular part of their work. And believing that in doing so, they did reap the benefits of having their requests approved and their funding supported. Second piece of that budget, in addition to the politics, is the question of structures and systems. Very interesting tensions. While the jurisdictions cooperate, there's also ways in which they compete, because they're competing for member towns. And it's not so much that they're competing with each other as that the politicians will play them off. So that the way the district system works in Connecticut is a district will have a per capita that every municipality commits to. And the municipalities are really good at saying, well, so-and-so, this district over here is charging a lower per capita than you are, and so we're going to leave you and we're going to go over there. And so it's a very interesting effect and tension on the activities and the decisions of the local health directors, of the districts, to have that influence and it being very clearly about the finances. Some of the districts reported that they just completely refused to play that game and were clear with the municipalities that they were about services and quality of services, and this is what they were going to provide, and this was the cost. But there were others that were really trying to make sure that the per capita was kept as low as possible. And so we have a very low per capita in a number of those districts. There's some of the population demographics reporting communities that were rural are now shifting into suburban, more higher income actually moving out of the cities into the districts that had been much more predominantly rural. So this whole piece is the neighbors, the effect of the neighbors on how they meet the services and how they play with the costs. It's just critical and plays out in some really interesting ways. And one of the slides that I want to get to at the end is about this, is this relationship with the districts, the multiple municipality districts as opposed to the single municipality districts. The third key influence is really the funding stream. Where is it coming from? The primary sources were really state and local government. Interestingly, in Connecticut, we have a very strong incentive to get out of those part-time jurisdictions to really shift to the districts. The state is no longer funding part-time health districts or part-time health departments under a particular population. And so there's some financial incentives, and then the districts struggle to set these per capita levels. License and services fees vary, and interestingly, that's one of the key things that directors, we also in these interviews asked about their use of the annual report data, not reporting on that here, but one of the key things they went was to compare. How do I look in terms of license fees? How do I look when compared to the neighboring districts? I don't want to be out of line. So interesting ways the license and servicing fees are mattering. And then the larger jurisdictions had a lot more grant money. So in terms of funding streams, this is a full-time health department and really struggling with layoffs, with morale, with issues of how do we maintain our services, and particularly when you've got some grant funded that's protected, whereas the non-grant funded is suffering from these cuts. There's internal tension, and it's a very interesting challenge that the health directors experienced. Shifting to services, top and the influences on services, top piece was regulations. What am I required to do? And followed by community needs, political priorities, funder priorities, health department staff. The other four aren't in any real order, but over and over again, we did get this issue of regulations. And Connecticut, our statute is old. Is it the 50s or the 60s? And so what's required is not what we would consider key public health services today. Interestingly, one of the notes was that there's a whole level of local statutes and local regulations that are often missed The best story was of the health department being required to enforce the lawn length in one of the municipalities. And if it was longer than 3 inches, they were supposed to enforce that. So, you know, there's some really interesting challenges across when you have local regulations and local such a diversity of responsibility for providing public health services. Now, we also have very highly trained people who are committed to doing the best work that they can. And when that's held in tension with these requirements, you know, the public health person in me says the services that are most important are the services that are going to have the most impact on preventing disease. But the reality of life is that getting funding for that is much more difficult. Service priorities are also directed, like that story of the lawns, they're directed by the local priorities also. And so particularly when you're so reliant on local revenues, on the budget from your local municipality, they play a key role in setting the service priorities. And that story of educating those politicians to make them realize that it's not just basic environmental services that's a part of public health, and that's a key piece of what we offer with public health. All the rest of the things, you know, the politician that says all the rest of the things that you do, they're wonderful, but that's for another time when we can afford them. And right now, we just need you to do the basics. Pulling the broader question, you know, we posed the questions of what is it that is affecting your budgets, and what is it that is affecting your services in that budget, of course. Whatever the funding cuts are critical. Interestingly, the rural part-time health districts jurisdictions had the least effect. And part of that was because they were coming primarily from local revenues, and they had a very strong one-to-one relationship with their local municipality. Another critical challenge on services that was a really big issue for all of the single municipality departments was that grant funds are not always timely, but the municipalities provide different requirements in terms of what they can do before the money shows up in the bank. And some of them had serious restrictions on what they could do until the money showed up, whereas the districts had a lot more flexibility there. In terms of the budgets, really the full-time municipalities had a very clear, you know, if the grant is cut, the staff is gone. And with the districts, they had a little more flexibility for moving things around. We can sign a contract, we can hire a person from the outside, but sometimes there's a lag between implementation and the payment that's coming in. And that's a challenge that all of them face. In conclusion, I want to say that the directors have the autonomy to adjust the service mix and organizational operations in response to budget cuts. They do have that freedom, although that freedom does vary with some of the structure with the districts and the departments. The political report relationships are critical for maintaining funding levels. The statutory requirements are a key driver of the service provided, whether it's the state or the local. It's putting those two together and knowing that that's the services you've got to provide and that you're accountable for. And then this tension of both the collaboration and the competition with the districts. I actually want to go to two other, because I have the time, I'm going to sneak into other slides that are some of my favorites. So when we started this project, we did this nice framework that said, okay, we're going to look at how how revenue, how budgets affect the services that are provided. So we looked at revenue-generating services. We looked at the economic conditions, societal priorities, regulatory requirements. Now, one of the things that we had not expected is that if you look at this one and then you take this one, okay, once you shift to the multiple municipality situation, you end up with a much more diffuse political influence because all of a sudden the relationship has to be maintained with multiple political systems. And that piece of that challenge is part of what led to some of the quantitative findings, which are that the local health, the part-time health departments and the districts had about the same amount of money per capita, whereas the full-time, the larger health departments had much larger per capita expenditures and budgets. And part of that, and so we're just raising this question as we think about how we deliver public health services in the most effective way. How do we make sure that the structures are there to both engage with and capture the relationships at the local level, to respect the decision making, but also to provide the education that the health directors are doing in those political relationships. And so I just want to close by thanking all of the students involved, all of the directors of health that were wonderful in terms of taking the time to meet with us. You know, they expressed some frustration with being over-surveyed, but they were also very happy to sit down with us for usually an hour to an hour and a half to talk about their issues in terms of money and how they did it and what they struggled with, and to hear, to have someone listen to all of the ways they tried to cope. And I appreciate your listening and giving us the opportunity to share.